Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the letter of James, chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. So far, sermon text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, whose return we patiently await, dear fellow redeemed, or do we? Do we patiently wait for our Lord's coming? Those of you who know me quite well know that I'm not a very patient person. I think that I've grown a little bit in my patience, but I have to fight impatience constantly. That's what I wrote on Thursday morning. And then on Friday night, my wife and I went Christmas shopping. And we went to the Christian bookstore. And we're standing in line. The lady in front of me, and us, was looking through her purse, looking through her purse, and looking through her purse. And then the lady asked the lady at the counter, could you tell me where something is? And she spent 30 seconds telling her where something is. And I'm tapping my foot. And finally she paid, and she turns around and says, I'm sorry it took so long. Thank you for being patient. And we said, oh, that's okay. And I went, That's what I'm preaching on Sunday. I guess my patience is a lot like the former Prime Minister of England, Margaret Thatcher. She said, I am extraordinarily patient, provided I get my own way in the end. Just last week, I also heard about a massive snowstorm in Russia that caused a 100-mile traffic jam. It took 2 days to unsnarl and to plow out the cars and trucks. Imagine the patience it would take to be stuck for 2 days in a traffic jam. Well, in this letter, the Apostle James says that living faith produced from God's Word shows itself in daily practical experiences of life. And he lists some of them. He says, faith endures or perseveres through trials. Faith obeys God's Word. Faith becomes doers, not just hearers of the Word. Faith harbors no prejudice. Faith controls the tongue. Faith acts wisely. Faith provides the power to resist the devil. And the last thing he lists is faith patiently waits for the coming of the Lord. And that's the truth that we'll be discussing this morning from James chapter 5. James wrote his letter around 45 to 50 AD. That's about 15 to 20 years after Jesus' crucifixion, after his resurrection, and after his ascension to heaven when he promised that he'd return. Just prior to his death, Jesus said these words in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house I have many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The early Christians awaited for the fulfillment of that promise of their Savior, and they expected it to be any moment, any day. And that was 15, maybe even 20 years later. Many were growing impatient. And because of persecution, life as a Christian was less and less comfortable. In fact, for some, downright miserable and hard. No doubt they were thinking, why isn't Christ coming back? Why hasn't he returned? Why hasn't he fulfilled his promise? Maybe we should just give up waiting and watching. In their impatience, they became bitter, angry, and began to grumble and despair. But there's a wise saying, Patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet. And that, in essence, is what James is telling every one of us and what he wrote to the people of his day. We read the first two verses of our text again. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Our theme this morning is practice prophetic patience. James needed to both admonish as well as to encourage the people of his day. Jesus spoke similar words when he was talking about the end times. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he said, the times will come, and these will be the signs of the end of the world, that they're coming. There'll be rumors of wars, pestilences, famines, earthquakes, brother betraying brother, children rising up against their parents, Christians being hated by all men for my name's sake. Many false prophets will arise and will deceive many people. Lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold. And the gospel will spread to all nations. And then he said, but he who endures, he who perseveres to the end, shall be saved. And he added, not a hair of your head shall be lost. In your patience, possess your souls. In other words, patiently endure the afflictions, the persecutions. Remain faithful to the end, and you will have eternal life. So may we practice prophetic patience. The first example that James gives is this. Like farmers who depend upon the weather the Lord sends them. James gives a concrete example. He says, even as farmers patiently wait for the precious fruit, waiting for the early and latter rains for their crops to grow, so also says, you be patient. It's interesting that James uses the word precious there. The precious fruit. It's the same word that Peter used when he wrote about Jesus' shed blood. The precious blood of Jesus. And that's understandable. Crops, food, is precious to us because it sustains us. We wouldn't live without it. So also, Jesus' shed blood is precious because it sustains us. Our salvation, our redemption, our forgiveness is all earned for us through Jesus' precious shed blood. Just as a farmer cannot schedule when it's going to rain, in fact, he cannot even cooperate along with God in making it rain, he must simply pray and then trust and wait for the rain to come, so also we have no idea when Jesus is coming again. We know it soon. It is coming. So, to wait patiently, without growing discontented, angry, complaining, worrying, despairing, or giving up, that is to conform to God's gracious goodwill. We could compare the early and latter rains that farmers receive, kept their crops grow, to the blessings that God showers upon us in His grace. The means of grace, the gospel and word sacrament that causes our faith to grow in grace and in knowledge. And that's also a perfect picture. Farmers eagerly await their harvest. They can't wait for their harvest and get all their crops safely into the barn. So also we should eagerly await for the harvest of souls on Judgment Day, when the Lord will appear again, and all of us will see Him in His glory and His splendor. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more pain, no more death, no more evils. We'll lift up our heads because our redemption draws nigh, and we'll forever be with the Lord. But James is not just saying, be patient, in other words, oh, just sit down patiently in a rut and wait for a long time. He says, while you're being patient, be busy. Establish your hearts. Literally, that means strengthen your hearts. And that, of course, is done only when the Holy Spirit works in our hearts through that means of grace, by us consistently hearing God's word here in church, continually coming to the Lord's Supper to partake of the Lord's Supper, coming to study God's word in Bible class and Sunday school, and continually reading all of his promises he gives to us in his word in our home devotions. Our Lord has promised to us that he will come again. And faith grabs hold of that promise for dear life. And the only way that that faith that's holding on to that promise can be strengthened and can grow is by our continually hearing, reading, and learning God's word. James now turns to the second group as an example of patience. Practice prophetic patience like prophets who faced tribulation. We read the last two verses of our text. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Our grumbling over against one another may occur when we see that other Christians receive more blessings than we think that we deserve. Or we may complain with each other simply because we're jealous of each other. Or we think we're the only ones doing everything. No one else is helping out. Or we may complain against God because of our lot in life. What's all these troubles coming our way for? Why do we have illness, disease, accidents? We complain about that. Or we become impatient with one another, expecting others to jump as soon as we say something. Now, all of those really are pictures of self-pity and selfishness. James says, instead of grumbling and complaining, take the prophets as an example as they suffered. Suffered by taking the name of the Lord, proclaiming to other people, and suffering in silence. There's not enough time in our service this morning to list all the names of all the prophets in the Old Testament who suffered for proclaiming God's name. Remember when Stephen was being stoned to death, just before he was stoned to death, he cried out to the people, "Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute?" And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One. Our Savior Jesus gives us some very comforting words. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And also our Savior said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Suffering in this life for Jesus' sake is a certainty for us. Jesus says we're to take up our cross as we follow him. We don't need to be afraid of suffering. We don't need to panic at the thought of being persecuted for Jesus' sake. Because the Lord said to the Apostle Paul, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And not only will our Lord deliver us from all sufferings of persecution and temptation, he assures us that as we endure this persecution, it'll be a blessing for us. For through his word, he will strengthen us and nurture us as we cling ever more tightly to his promises. Most of you know Helen Keller. She had an interesting statement about patience. She said, we could never learn to be brave and patient if there were only joy in the world. That's why this reoccurring theme of being patient as we wait for our Savior's return is not only found in James, it's found in Paul's writings, it's found in Peter's writings as well. Paul writes, we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. Peter writes, but you rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. And our epistle writer today, James, began his little epistle with these words: "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, so that you may be perfect," meaning mature, "and complete, lacking nothing." That's the kind of patience James encourages us to put into practice every day of our lives as we eagerly look forward to our Lord's return. A patience, a persevering, an ability to endure that can only come from the Holy Spirit working through His Word. Another person wrote concerning patience: "Have courage for the great sorrows of life, and patience for the small ones, and when you have laboriously accomplished your daily task, go to sleep in peace, for God is awake." May the Holy Spirit lead us to repent of the many times that we have been impatient, the times when we've grumbled and complained against each other or against God, the times we've taken our eyes off of that precious blood of our Savior, and we're not looking eagerly for His return. May the Holy Spirit strengthen us, especially as that last day comes, to bear our sufferings and sorrows, our griefs and our illnesses, our troubles and trials, with joy, as we look forward to the birth of our Savior, who joyfully bore all suffering, pain, death, and even damnation for us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus. Amen.